Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Koinonia Church Message Library. Our hope is that today's message encourages you, challenges you, and brings you closer to Jesus. We are confident that God's Word is living and active and is relevant for us today. Thanks for joining us. Enjoy the message.
Wow, good morning. That's a great buzz in the room. I love it. I almost ended up with my almost two-year-old up here because we have my niece visiting this weekend, and so we had four little girls with us, and one of them needed to go to the bathroom, and when you gotta go, you gotta go. So my husband left, and I was like, well, here goes the countdown. So that would have been fun. But anyways, happy Mother's Day. It is a great day to honor all the moms, and thank you for what you do, what you bring. And I'm honored to be able to share this morning from what I see in the Word of God. I'm going to be talking about the day of Pentecost, the day the Holy Spirit came. What an exciting day. And pairing that up with Mother's Day, I'm excited. I'm excited about what God has for us this morning. I know that today can be a bittersweet day, and I appreciate what Pastor Brian was praying about that. Actually, my own mom passed away in 2007, and actually Mother's Day was her last day at church. That was when she was well enough to be here. And I thought about that and just thought, wow, this is a big day. And just felt like, wow, God, you care about our lives. You care about the details of our lives. And I just think it's cool that I get to share today. But I do think about that and think about how Mother's Day is bittersweet for many of us. But it is good to honor, and there's no expiry date on honoring. And so I'm thankful for that. Well, last week, Pastor Nathan shared a great message in our series on Sent, just set up today even so well, because he was sharing about the sufficiency gap. And if you didn't get a chance to listen, I highly recommend it, because today will kind of be a part two of that. But in summary, he talked about how, you know, we talk about the Great Commission, and we think about what the task requires. And what the task requires, he drew this picture, and the task was like up here, and my ability is down here. And so we feel that gap, don't we? That like, whoa, what the task requires is too great for my natural ability to even possibly accomplish. But thank God for the Holy Spirit. That Holy Spirit, the Spirit of grace that fills the gap and makes it possible for us to do what God has called us to do. I just loved that diagram. Did you find that helpful? I just thought that was so helpful. And I don't know about you, especially you parents or moms in the room, but I feel that gap the most since I've become a mom. That feeling of like what the task requires to raise these humans is impossible on my own ability, because I am far too selfish to love them the way that God wants me to love them. But thank God for the Holy Spirit that helps me. The helper that helps me. That's what I want to talk about today, because I've actually not read this story of Pentecost through the lens of what Pastor Nathan shared about how the Holy Spirit makes us able. And I hadn't read it through the lens of being a mom. It was cool to read it that way. And so I feel like God has given me some revelation. I was getting excited as I was reading the scripture again after I've read it many times, but not through this lens and from this perspective. And I've just been excited about what God has revealed to me. So are you ready to hear from the Word of God this morning? That's good. So this is where we're at. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. You can read along with me. This is right after Jesus has commissioned the disciples. He says, "As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And he promised to give them the Holy Spirit to help them. And so it says this in Acts 2, verse 1. On the day of Pentecost, that was a festival that was celebrated 50 days after Passover. And Passover is the time when Jesus died. So this is a significant day, the day of Pentecost. All the believers were meeting together in one place. Think about what this must have looked like. Think about all the believers gathered together in one place. You know, I think that something special happens when we gather. Amen? There is something special that happens when we gather. And I'm thankful, just remembering how thankful I am to be able to gather today and be together in one place. So they were doing what Jesus said. Though they had been sent by Jesus, they actually didn't go very far. They actually were still at home. They stayed home. And I thought about, that's significant. You know, you think, okay, you're sent, now go, spread. He said, no, wait in Jerusalem. Wait for help to arrive. I think this is so cool because he's literally saying, you don't have what it takes yet. You know, sometimes we think, oh, isn't Jesus going to give this great, shouldn't he have given this great strategic evangelistic plan for them? And okay, you're going to go here and you're going to go there. And you're going to do this thing. It is not very, it's pretty vague what he says. You're sent. Now, go and wait for help to arrive because you don't have what it takes yet. But I'm going to give you the helper to help you. Isn't that good news for us? The only qualifications they had were that they believed. They were believers. Do you believe that Jesus is who he says he was? Then you're ready for the Holy Spirit to fill you and send you. That's all that they had. I think about the Holy Spirit, and literally the name, the Holy Spirit, it means paraclete or helper, one to walk alongside of us. And in all the ways that we describe the Holy Spirit and that he's described in the Bible, all of them suggest that we need him. All of them. He is the comforter, the advocate, the teacher, because we need teaching, the counselor, because we need counsel, power, wisdom, grace. These are just a few of the ways the Holy Spirit is described because we need his help. We need his help. We feel that gap. This is what it says. Sorry, this is just verse 1, by the way. Okay. Verse 2. Suddenly. Okay, I'm going to stop after that word. Because that word just grabbed my attention to see, whoa, what are the things that we're sitting and waiting for? Waiting, feeling like, God, are you there? You promised to come. You promised to do something. And here we're just waiting. But who knows what can happen suddenly when the time is right. And God's timing is perfect. He is at work. Because this suddenly was suddenly to them, but not suddenly to God. And I'm encouraged by that to see, Holy Spirit, sometimes you move suddenly, and I'm ready. Are you ready for suddenly? Are we ready for suddenly? It's to say, Holy Spirit, we will allow you to do what you will do, and if it's sudden for us, that's okay. That would be exciting, wouldn't it? His timing is perfect. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven, like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Filled the house. I love this picture. As I was thinking about this, I imagined this house, because they would have been in a similar place, possibly in the temple or some type of upper room, and I imagined this house, and I felt just a prayer rise up within me. Holy Spirit, fill this house. Let the sound of heaven be heard in this house. Amen? The sound of the Holy Spirit pouring out. Can you imagine what that would have sounded like? A mighty rushing windstorm. That's my prayer. In verse 3, then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. You know, this is a very significant time in history because to this point, the Holy Spirit has filled people, but more like a trickling effect of the Holy Spirit here and there filling people. But at this moment, the floodgates have opened, and the Holy Spirit has poured out. And we need to know that this is the moment the Holy Spirit was for all believers. Say all believers. I am one of the all. That's so significant that the floodgates were then opened, and every single person in that house who was a believer was filled with the Holy Spirit. It was no longer just like a select few. It was for all. this is so important for us to see, because sometimes I feel like we think, oh, it's just for that special person over there who receives that special ability to do that special thing. No, the Holy Spirit came for all, to fill all. And there was not a long list of qualifications, like I said. And so the Holy Spirit is for you, to fill me. It's good news. The helper. Because we can't do it on our own. He came for all. This is the gift. This was the promise they were waiting for. Imagine what that must have felt like to hear the sound of heaven, to know this is it. This is the moment. But they don't know the ability they're about to receive. They just know they're waiting to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And they are. The Holy Spirit, think about that. The Holy Spirit filled them, came to indwell them. Literally live within them, to walk alongside them in their everyday life. That is exciting because we need him. We need the Holy Spirit. These were ordinary people. And I love the line, as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. Because to this point, they could speak one language, their Galilean language. That is what they knew. That was the limit of their ability. But after this point, the Holy Spirit gave them the ability to speak in other languages. That's crazy. That's amazing. I know one person who has prayed and received and been able to speak the English language like overnight. But I don't hear of that very often. But it's possible. It's possible. Their ability to speak those languages didn't come from their studying, didn't come from their intelligence. They were just gathered and waiting, and the Holy Spirit filled them, and they were given an ability beyond their natural ability. So cool. And this is not the first time that the Holy Spirit has given abilities to people to do things that they could not do on their own ability. Throughout even the Old Testament, I love this example that I'd never seen before. In Exodus, there's a guy named Bezalel, and it says he was filled with the Holy Spirit, so he was able to do craftsmanship and artistic design. Isn't that cool? I don't know what ability you have, but if you even lean that way towards artistic design and craftsmanship, the Holy Spirit can give you even more and beyond in that way. I think that's awesome. Joseph was able to interpret dreams, and he found favor with the Pharaoh. When they were rebuilding the temple in Haggai, they were afraid. And in order to do the work that they wanted to do, to rebuild, to do God's work, they needed to overcome fear. And the Holy Spirit gave them the ability to overcome that fear. It's so cool. And many prophets spoke on behalf of God because of what the Holy Spirit revealed. They had the ability to call out evil that they saw, and they had the ability to speak truth. That is what our culture needs. People with Holy Spirit ability to be able to say, this is what God is saying. This is what's true. These are just Old Testament examples, and I won't, spoiler alert on some of the messages to come from Acts. But the Holy Spirit poured out, was able to give them abilities that they needed. And this is the point. It seems to me there's a pattern of God and the Holy Spirit giving abilities to people at the time they need it for the specific task that they are called to do, for the work that they are doing. And I think that's good news. Because I think sometimes we feel the need to compare with other people. Like, I think I'm supposed to do that task or that task or that task. What is in your hand to do? And trust that the Holy Spirit is going to empower you for that task on that day with those people. That's it. And I've honestly wrestled with this point all week. I have written it and rewritten it. Ironic, because I'm talking about the Holy Spirit giving ability, and I feel like I've been relying on him to give me the ability to communicate. Well, I say, Holy Spirit, how do you do that? How do you give ability? Because sometimes I see that God has given me my natural ability. He's given you your natural ability. It comes from him. And the Holy Spirit wants to use your natural ability. And in everyday life, I feel like the Holy Spirit works within me to help me not snap at my kids. Or when I do snap at them regularly, he helps me to humble myself and apologize and repair. either way, I pray that the Holy Spirit, that my kids see my humility to trust the Holy Spirit of grace to fill me so that they see that I don't parent out of my own ability, but his. That is ultimately my prayer. And I see the Holy Spirit do that. But then there are times, and we need to stretch our faith to see that there are times when the Holy Spirit may give you an ability to do something impossible, absolutely impossible, so that the people around you would know so clearly without a doubt, there is no way you could have done that on your own ability. I want to have the kind of faith that believes that. That believes that that's possible. Holy Spirit, that you would give us ability in a moment, suddenly, in a moment, to do something that was otherwise impossible. And it wouldn't be because of our own ability. It was impossible for them to speak another language at that moment. And yet, that's what happened. And why that ability, though? Why that thing? Because it's not that we all need that ability to speak another language right now. But there might be something that you need when you go to work tomorrow or you go to school tomorrow that you say, maybe you're in IT. Maybe the Holy Spirit will give you the ability to solve a problem it seems no one else can solve. Or maybe quicker than someone else could solve it. Maybe you are a teacher and everyone's talking about this one kid that we just can't get through to. And the Holy Spirit will give you a piece of knowledge or wisdom or something that helps you to connect with them. We got to believe this is possible. It's possible. Have you experienced that? I just want to see a show of hands if you experienced the Holy Spirit filling you in some way, some big or small. Look at that. Yes, I know it's possible. And that encourages my faith to see, yes, the Holy Spirit is at work. God is at work in us. As we say, this is my limited ability, Holy Spirit, but I trust in your ability. Literally, the same power that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us. Amazing. Acts chapter 2, verse 5. So this is going to answer the question, why? Why would the Holy Spirit care to give us ability beyond our own? At that time. Do you know the Holy Spirit knows what time it is? He knows what time it is. And he knows what time in life it is. He knows what season you're in. He knows where you are. Because it says this here, at that time, there were devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem. It is very specific why they stay in Jerusalem. Because Jesus said, the message is going to go out first to the Jews, right? Then to the Gentiles, and then to the ends of the earth. And that's what's happening. So this is a significant moment because the Holy Spirit knows what time it is and he knows where you live and he knows who lives around you. He doesn't need them to go all over the place. He wants them where they are because that's where the Jewish nations have gathered in Jerusalem. They don't need to go anywhere else. And I can see that happening in our world today. I think about even the people who live on my street come from every continent in the world almost. Just in literally my neighbors around the circle. My circle matters to the Holy Spirit. Your circle, your cul-de-sac, your street, your neighborhood, it matters to the Holy Spirit. And you're there, filled with the Holy Spirit. So good. And I think that helps me to see when I drive into my driveway and say, yes, Holy Spirit, this is the place where you've called me right here. And it's intimidating sometimes to have conversations around the circle. It is. That right there, that little circle 5 minutes away stretches my faith more than anything else. Holy Spirit, I want to be a light here. I don't know how to go about that, but I'm just going to keep on hanging out and keep on being in the circle. And I trust that maybe one day, suddenly, I'll have some word, some something, some sense of boldness. I don't know. But I believe it's possible. So God knew where they were. And verse 6, when they, the people around, heard the loud noise, everyone came running. They heard the sound of heaven. And they came to see what was happening. I pray that the sound of heaven is so loud in this place that people from every nation come to hear. and see and witness what the Holy Spirit is doing. Amen? And they were bewildered to hear their own languages being spoken by the believers. They were completely amazed. "How can this be?" they exclaimed. "These people are all from Galilee, and yet we hear them speaking in our own native languages. How can this be?" I love that question. How can this be? I hope that the people around us are asking, how can this be? Because they identify, those people are Galileans. They know. They know. They can so clearly see. You should only be able to speak one language. I don't understand how this is happening. This is beyond your natural ability. They recognize it. And they say, and we know what you're supposed to be able to do, but you're doing something different than that. And we can recognize that that's not possible on your own strength. However, we can't deny the fact that we can hear with our ears that you're speaking a different language. Oh, that the ability that the Holy Spirit gives us would be so undeniably from him that people couldn't not help but say, this has to be from God. It's so good. Then it says here in verse 9, well, God cares to speak every language, first of all, so that people would receive Jesus, because this is what it says. Here we are, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, people from Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, the province of Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the areas of Libya around Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, and we all hear these people speaking in our own languages about the wonderful things God has done. So they weren't just saying random things. They were speaking about the wonderful things God has done. They stood there amazed and perplexed. "What can this mean?" they asked each other. But others in the crowd ridiculed them, saying, "They're drunk, that's all." So here they are, right place, right time, right Holy Spirit. A miracle has occurred, and there are still people criticizing. That's not fun to hear, to be honest. But it happens, and it's possible to be in the right place, the right time, the right Holy Spirit, right you, and have people criticize. But still, there are others asking, what can this mean? And isn't that just the way we are? We want to know not just something cool that's occurred, but what does it mean? If you seem to have an ability beyond your natural ability, that has to mean something. And what does it mean? I love what happens next. Peter stands up. Peter. Think about Peter. Same guy, not that long ago, was questioned, "Hey, were you with Jesus?" And he denied Jesus 3 times. This is the same guy, the same one. He's witnessed miracles. He's walked with Jesus, and he still denied Jesus. But not today. Not today. Because on this day, he is filled with the Holy Spirit. And I don't know what he feels inside, if he just feels like compelled. Because on this day, he doesn't shrink back and run away. On this day, he steps forward. Verse 14, then Peter stepped forward. I wonder, have you ever experienced the Holy Spirit urging you forward? There's many times in my life I've had an idea to do something. It could be as simple as that. An idea to bless someone, and but I know it's the Holy Spirit. And there's many times I've ignored it. But I'm so thankful for the grace of God and the mercy of God that the Holy Spirit continues to nudge and prompt and encourage us to step forward. He's going to continue to encourage us to step forward out of the shadows, out of our fear, and into what he's calling us to. Because you might be the closest person in that moment to step forward. I have experienced this one time in my life where I felt the Holy Spirit nudging me forward. I was a camp counselor, and I was 17 at the time, and this was like a life-changing moment. And I was at this camp, and the leader of the camp was there, and we were kind of worshiping. And this was camp with kids, grade 4 to 6. And I was there at the back, kind of like, I'm here, I'm good, I'm participating. But I was engaged in worship. And suddenly the leader said, I feel like there's someone in here who has something that they need to share. And to this point, I have not really spoken in front of very many people in many places other than in kids ministry, which counts very much, I should mention. But at this point, I've not just willingly stepped forward into a group of people like this, when she said, I feel like there's someone who needs to step forward. And I immediately had this thought, it's me. And also at the same time, no, it's me. Have you ever experienced that? This feeling, like, I gotta go, I gotta do it, I gotta walk across the room, it's me, I gotta go. Something is compelling me forward, and I experienced that. And I think she called on someone else in the room, and I felt bad. I was like, oop, I should have walked forward, I think. And then they went and shared, and it was great. Came back, and she's like, I still feel like there's someone who needs, and I was like, it's me. And so I felt myself walking straight up the center of the room, and I still can't believe to this day that I did that. But I knew that it was the Holy Spirit. I had no idea what I was going to say when I got up there, except I felt, it's me. And so I stepped forward and shared and just talked about how the Holy Spirit was helping me to overcome my fear. And it spoke to the kids in the room, and it was a beautiful moment. And I was able to pray for them, and it was awesome. And I experienced the Holy Spirit using me in that way. But I don't experience that very often. But just so you know, it's possible to feel compelled forward. And I wonder if that's what Peter felt. You know, when they're like, oh, these people are just drunk, and what could this be? And he felt like, I gotta get up there. I gotta say something. It's me. And he did. He was there with the 11 other apostles and shouted to the crowd, listen carefully, all of you fellow Jews and residents of Jerusalem. Make no mistake about this. These people are not drunk, as some of you are assuming. 9 o'clock in the morning is much too early for that. I just love it. Like, maybe it was later, I could see. But the Holy Spirit was smart here. It's only 9 a.m. Too soon. See, God is smart with timing, I said. No, in verse 16, no, what you see was predicted long ago by the prophet Joel. He's saying, this is not random. This is not random. God has a plan. And he has had a plan all along. If there's anything that I continue to learn about the Bible, that I am in awe of how it works together. From thousands of years, it all works together. That makes me think. That strengthens my faith to believe, God, you do have a plan. Because you have predicted things that have happened, and you will continue to do so. And he's saying, this is not random. You can trust God. This is really what he's saying. This was predicted long ago. And these are Jewish people, so they would understand, and they would have known, and they would have heard this. And so they would be able to tie together, oh, yeah, maybe it's true. All the things that God has predicted, all the prophecies we've studied, could be possible that these are the last days. Because it says this, in the last days, this is what Joel said. And are we in the last days still? Then this promise is for us, what I'm about to read. God says, this is what I'm going to end with, so listen carefully. It's good. I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. In those days, I will pour out my spirit, even on my servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy. And I will cause wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and clouds of smoke. The sun will become dark and the moon will turn blood red before that great and glorious day of the Lord arrives. But everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. What a powerful promise. What a great picture. The Holy Spirit is for all people, for all generations. That encourages me because it reminds me as a parent that the Holy Spirit is bigger than me and he can speak to and through my kids regardless of me. Though I want to be involved and I want to be an example of following the Holy Spirit, I am thankful that I can trust that he can speak to my daughters and through them. And that is a promise in his word that our sons and daughters would prophesy. I believe it. Do you believe it? this place that our sons and daughters would prophesy and would rise up, that our young and old, young men would have visions and old men would dream dreams. I pray that we would see things that we have not seen before as we are filled with the Holy Spirit, that we would see things even in our sleep that we have not seen. Men and women will prophesy. Men and women alike. This is for all people. I pray that we would walk in humility, that we would experience the Spirit of grace within us, and that we would begin to stretch our faith. Maybe your faith is here to say, I don't know, I think I'm kind of good with my own ability and prefer not to stretch out. But I pray the Holy Spirit would meet you right there and begin to help. You would experience in some way this week, you experience, that wasn't me, only me. There's the Holy Spirit at work in me. And I pray that you would experience that in natural ways in your daily life with your kids or at your job or at school, wherever you go. I pray that you would experience the Holy Spirit helping you, that you would know you have help alongside of you. And I even pray that there would be moments that we would have testimonies of times when the Holy Spirit would give ability that is impossible on our own ability, so much so that God would get all the glory for what he is doing, that we would see the signs and wonders, that we would see the miracles at work in this house, that the sound of heaven would fill this house, that we would know that the Holy Spirit is here. Amen. Would you stand on your feet? Because I'm just going to pray as we close today. And I just feel like, yeah, I want to just pray that just what I have said, that we would experience the Holy Spirit. Would you just hold out your hands? Thank you, Holy Spirit. We receive you. We receive you now. Would you fill us? Would you fill us right here in this place? Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are here with us. We choose to open our hearts to receive from you. We don't want to do this on our own ability. We know we're limited. We see it every day. We feel it every day. It's frustrating. But Holy Spirit, we know that you are more than enough. The power of God resides within us. Holy Spirit, thank you that you have come to be our helper, the one who walks alongside of us. Help us to experience that we would know that it would begin here at home. Here at home, we would experience you, Holy Spirit, in our own homes. We would experience you. I pray for all the parents in this place who are trying so desperately to show and model and walk out their faith for their kids. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you would enable us as parents to do that in a fresh, new way. Would you give us wisdom beyond our understanding? Would you give us insight into our kids and what they need uniquely and how they have been made by you? Holy Spirit, would you give us what we need? Would you strengthen those who are feeling weak? Thank you, God, that when we are weak, we are strong. I pray for strength for everyone in this place now. I thank you, Lord, that you are with us. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you would even help us to communicate in a way that others can understand and receive and know that Jesus is real. Whether it's an actual different language or if it's just a new level of understanding someone else's language. Help us to communicate. Holy Spirit, would you give us boldness? Would you stir in us a boldness that we have not had before? I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are gracious and kind and gentle, and you work the fruit of the Spirit in us. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you care so much for the world around us, that you would give us ability beyond our own so that people would see Jesus. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that this does not rest on our shoulders, but that you are with us to accomplish the things that you have called us to do the work that we do. Thank you for every task that will be completed this week. I thank you, Holy Spirit, you help us in every task. I thank you that you empower us and enable us by your grace. Help us to walk in humility. Help us to walk in humility and not try so hard on our own strength. Would you help us to acknowledge that we don't have what it takes and that we need you? And in those moments, would you fill us fresh again to experience you walking alongside of us? We thank you for that, and I pray a blessing over everyone in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us on the podcast today. We want to encourage you to let the Holy Spirit sink today's message into your heart, to let it transform you and bring new life. If you want to learn more about Koinonia, you can go to kcf.life to get connected. Thank you for being a part of our community. If today's message encouraged you, we would love for you to rate it and review it and share it with a friend. We love you. Let's continue to build God's kingdom together.